to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked from least to most elaborate coffee order.
Very nice.
Max Weinberg.
Yeah, I'm Max Weinberg playing Thumbsteenling. I guess, I don't know, a normal coffee order, just like a soy latte.
Okay. Wait. That's fun.
All the black coffee fans out there are going like, that's normal?
That's cute. Do you put flavor in it?
No, I used to, but now I just kind of do just sugar.
Very nice.
No.
Okay.
Sexy.
I will say Stump absolutely just has like the thickest, darkest coffee.
Ooh. Yeah, Stump's got like the cowboy coffee.
It's like viscous.
Like the over the fire percolator, like cowboy coffee shit. Yeah.
Ooh. There's so many grounds in it.
Next, Rowan McStay.
Howdy, Rowan McStay playing Salome Brar. And I get a iced oat latte, just plain old. I think Salome probably in three developed a fancy palate for coffee.
Oh, absolutely. In the daintiest little cups.
And can't quite go back. Like she's trying to stay down to earth, but I think she is maybe a little fancy about her coffee now.
And disqualified from the ranking because they don't drink coffee, Robin Langenhop.
Hey!
That is correct. Robin Langenhop
nice.
Playing Hayden Kincaid. I drink exclusively tea, though in fairness, I have exceedingly elaborate tea orders. Shout out to Friday Afternoon Teas in Seattle. They made me a custom tea specifically for when I am doing D&D. It's called Dragon Hatchling. I absolutely love it. So, yeah.
Wow.
Shout out to the Friday Afternoon Tea people.
Friday Afternoon, if you want a weird sponsorship opportunity.
Not a sponsor, but they could be.
I'd be very into that.
This is the most sponsored, not sponsored episode that we've done so far.
Yeah, there will be a lot of product placement in this one. We're just trying to fish for sponsors.
And with that,
Salome cracks open a Coca-Cola with the label out.
With that, let's dive right in
to the teddy bear pools and spas.
What?
Which is only Western Massachusetts, I realize, but we're here.
You're casting the smallest net.
I'll give him a call.
Last time.
We're breaking the narrator.
On Mage Hand High Five. The group get... I'm gonna die.
Okay. I think I'm gonna leave that.
Last time on Mage Hand High Five.
There
the
it is.
Group bid their goodbyes to their friends in Twin River. They each received a parting gift from LaMarche. Stump received poisoner's gloves, Salome an amulet of health, and Hayden a dancing dagger. The trio set out, and Stump confronts Hayden about their possession of both amulet and hat, receiving the hat. Salome notices the dark storm overhead may be magical in nature and may be a response to something. They arrive at a tavern to escape the rain, with Hayden noticing a tall, dark figure in the storm. You all meet Shorna, a trapper, Early Porterfield, the owner of the tavern, and Brinley, Early's niece. Another hooded figure enters the bar, but rents a room and leaves upstairs immediately. Early tells the group of some animal killings in town, which the people believe to be the work of the Beast of Blackthorn Bog. Headed to bed, Hayden discovers an aberration lurking nearby, and Stump awakens from a nightmare to discover the amulet in hand. He also discovers the back door to the tavern open to the elements, and Early Porterfield dead in the kitchen. Where we pick up. Stump, you are standing in a wet, wet kitchen. The door is banging against the wall with the wind just throwing in rain and sheets. And drenched from this downpour is the body of Early Porterfield slumped over the sink.
I'm going to try to like peek out the door. Or not peek, I'm going to look out the door.
Okay.
See if I can spot anything.
Roll a perception check with disadvantage.
It's a 10.
it is extremely hard to see. It's honestly hard to keep your eyes open with the amount of rain that's coming in. You see the door, like, banging open. There's not a whole lot else outside. You can hardly see the other buildings in town. The rain is coming down so hard.
Great. I'm going to close the door.
You close the door?
Can I now do two things? I'd like to just do an investigation check of the room and then also do a medicine check of Early.
Yeah. Investigation check is going to be a little high just because the room is soaking wet. The medicine check is going to be a little low because Early is fucking dead.
Ooh, that's a 13 investigation.
Okay.
And an 11 medicine.
Okay. You look around the room. Everything is covered in damp. There's no such thing as fingerprints or even like hair or any sort of leavings behind by whatever did this in this room.
Okay.
And the door to the back, the one that was swinging open that you just closed, does not look forced.
Okay. How's he look?
You turn him over to find that he has been gored. He has been ripped open with what look like animal claws.
That is a bummer.
Either animal claws or this is the work of someone wielding a weapon making it look like animal claws. And you can't really know the difference.
Oh, I got the amulet in my hand.
Sure do. It is sitting there and it is glowing and it feels nice.
I'm gonna go wake Salome up first.
Okay.
I'm gonna go stealth upstairs though, just to make sure no one sees me.
Roll stealth.
That's a dirty 20.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, you start to head up. Let's turn over to Hayden. Hayden, you're awake because
yes, I am.
Someone has just left your room.
Well, I have a pretty solid guess as to who just left my room.
Okay.
I'm going to step out into the hallway. Is there any sign out here of someone having left their room or anything like that? Is there a sign that someone, like, forcibly entered my room?
You take a look at the door. It doesn't look forced. The lock is intact.
Which, of course, all that means is that someone either has spells or a lockpicking kit, so that doesn't really tell me much. Is Stump in his room?
The door to Stump's room is closed.
Is it locked?
No, it is not locked.
Crossbow at the ready. I click it open.
You click it open. The door slowly swings open on an empty room.
I immediately go to Salome because I think I'm going to need backup.
Hayden and Stump. You arrive at Salome's door at the same time.
I mean, if I see Stump up behind me from the stairwell, I will have a different reaction.
Well, hold on. Hayden, what is your passive perception?
It's only 13.
Okay. Yeah, you don't notice Stump sneaking down the hallway with a dirty 20 until you both get to the door. And you look down, and he's right there.
Oh, hey.
Stump?
Hayden?
How you doing? You're very wet.
We gotta get in that room.
We might have some things to talk about, yes.
Yeah.
Can I make a vibe check? Like, does anything seem off about Stump?
Yeah, roll
a vibe check.
Roll insight. Stump, you gonna contest that? Or
no.
Are you just gonna let Hayden read you?
Yeah.
It's a 23.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. What does Hayden see?
Hayden sees that Stump is concerned.
Just a wet, scared little man.
It's exactly my type.
Face down, ascot up.
Hayden sees that Stump is, you know, concerned and clearly wants to talk about something. They probably don't see that Stump just has the amulet in his pocket. Stump is just, like, really concerned. It's really kind of like an urgent concern.
All right, then. Well, how about you go ahead and open this door, and you may understand that I'm not going to be dropping the crossbow just yet.
Okay.
You know why.
I open the door.
You just open the door into Salome's room?
I guess I knock.
Okay, I was going to say, if you just open the door, that's a different thing.
Hey, Salome.
Oh, yeah. What time is it, Stump?
Like 2:37. Can we come in?
What?
It's important.
Salome, there's a whole thing happening.
Oh, Lord. Okay, sure. Salome, like, sits up in bed, and she's developing just the finest line of acne on her forehead from the mayonnaise goggles.
No!
So you wake up and see the normally very fresh, or you come in and see the normally very fresh-faced Salome with just the finest little goggle line of mayonnaise acne along her forehead.
Oh, sweetheart, we have other things going on, but we need to look into your skincare routine, because there's something going on right now.
Yeah.
I could definitely make an ointment for
you. Something feels weird a little bit. Y'all see something? Hold on. I don't really have a mirror anywhere. Anyway, sorry. Y'all said it was important. What's up?
Yeah, Stump got possessed.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Stump fully...
Wait, how'd you know that?
Can I have the amulet back?
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Get out a kerchief, carefully collect the amulet without touching it, and put it in a pocket.
Sorry, Stump, you're gonna have to fill me in, but slow. You got possessed? You took the amulet?
Yeah.
Y'all okay? Why? I'm sorry, I understand that's a little spooky. Why are we here at 2:30 in the morning?
Okay, so, long story short, I had a bad dream. I woke up in the kitchen holding the amulet. The door was open. Early is dead in the sink, which is what I needed to talk to y'all about.
Holy hell, Stump.
And
what? Are you sleep murdering?
Did you kill him?
No, it wasn't
Stump. Me. Shit. Oh, shit. Sorry, we gotta be quiet. Stump, did you kill him?
No, it wasn't me.
Are you sure?
It looks like an animal did it. I can't do any of that.
Oh, hell, Stump. Can I do like an insight check on Stump or like a perception check to see if it looks like Stump just killed someone?
Yes.
Did Casey just roll something? What's happening?
Keep going.
Okay, cool.
I think yeah. Other people are percepting upon this conversation.
Oh, 100%, because we just yelled in this room. Okay, great. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick perception check. Is it perception or insight, you reckon?
Into what?
Like, to see if it looks like
Stump. If I look
like
I just killed someone?
Does he have the glimmer in his eye of a
no.
Is he
glowing? No.
Is he glowing like a new mother?
Is he covered in, like, claw marks and blood and stuff?
Is he covered in blood? Does it look like there's been a struggle? Does he look like he's been in a fight?
Sure. Roll insight.
That is a 9.
This little man is so wet.
Okay.
Like, it is impossible to tell. He is just drenched.
Yeah, like I think still kind of wiping the sleep and mayonnaise out of her eyes. Salome is like, all right, okay, honey, I can't really tell if it looks like you've been in a fight or anything, but what I can't say, why are you so wet?
I told you the door was open and it's pouring.
Shit. Friends, we have no time. People might be waking up any minute here.
All right, what are we going to do?
I guess I could, because I go downstairs and pretend that I just saw it for the first time.
Either that or you dry off.
Yeah, I guess. I think you go downstairs, find the body, and just scream, okay?
And I'll slam the door again. I'll do that too.
Okay, and then we're all gonna come downstairs behind you?
Oh God, Solomon, does one of you have any kind of prestidigitation or something? We need to clean up the water that he just tracked back up the stairs.
Oh hell, no, I don't, sorry. I mean, I got a towel in the bathroom, hold on.
Yeah, how many petticoats do you have? I could probably just wear a few of those down there.
Two?
And it'll clean it up.
Stump, just get down there.
Okay. I'm going to stealth back downstairs.
Or we could just tell everybody what happened. I mean...
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Go ahead and stealth.
21.
21. Okay.
I think Salome genuinely lays back down and hopes to get, like, 40 more seconds of sleep before the rest of the shit hits the fan.
Salome, we need to do something about this amulet while Stump's gone.
Yeah, probably.
Can you put it somewhere? I can take the fake one that I have, put it in my hiding place.
Oh.
Just, if it buys us a little bit of time next time Stump tries to sleepwalk his way into more crime.
Oh, yeah, honey, come on, give it here. This is how I save money to leave without Thaddeus knowing.
We need to unpack that one.
I take the amulet and put it inside my little toiletry bag, and I say, yeah, you know what? It's the damnedest thing. You put something you want to hide in your cosmetics or your menstrual products, the men will never find it.
Ooh, I should write that down.
I think because it's important enough, I think I put the bag on my person somewhere just so that it's with me and not like gonna get
looked at from someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do have my toiletry bag just around now.
But just for fun.
Just in case.
Stump, as you're heading down, you pass a couple doors to the other rooms where the other people are sleeping. As you are turning to make your way down the stairs, you stop and you look back, and the last door on the end is cracked open.
Hmm. Oh, dear. Who, do we know whose room that is?
You do not.
So Stump turns and, you know, notices the door and just goes, "Can I help you?"
No response. The door just closes.
That's so much worse.
A little louder than probably should be said in this moment. So, like, they can hear, whoever this is can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I walk downstairs, or I start walking away and going, "What, people in this town never see a grown person never leave another grown person's room at 2:30 in the morning? Jeez, what are people doing these days?" Just so, like, everyone kind of hears that statement.
I think Salome hears it and goes, "Oh, hail, Stump. Okay."
Oh, gods, I'm still in the room. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I gotta go.
Folks are gonna have some questions about the three of us.
Should I make my braids disheveled? I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, hold on one sec. Let me mess them up for you.
Stump goes downstairs and heads back to the kitchen, and if nothing else happens, I open the door, see the body again, and go,
somebody's dead, there's a body here, what do I do, someone help, Salome, Hayden, anybody help,
Hayden, you think maybe one of us should have done it?
Well, too late now.
And then he also slams shut the outdoor door again.
And the Three Theater Award goes to...
Stump was absolutely tree number 7 in his school plays.
In the community theater.
Yeah.
Stump, you hear footsteps upstairs as people start to clamor out of their rooms. Salome and Hayden, you're both still in Salome's room. And you hear people clamoring outside to go see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll walk out and just kind of sit, stand by the door and watch. I'm going to watch other people walk out and just try to clock, like, everyone's state of awareness as other folks are walking out. I'm trying to observe everyone else as they leave their rooms.
Okay. You're coming out at about the same time that everybody else is.
Great.
I'm going to crossbow in one hand, come out, but, like, be actively trying to button up my shirt as I go.
Oh, my God.
If we're doing this, we're doing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you both spill out of Salome's room.
I'm sorry.
As Shorna comes out of her room next door, she sort of looks over and sees the two of you spill out at the same time and goes, "Huh."
What, three adults traveling together? Things happen.
She says, "Ain't my business. Good for y'all." Somebody's screaming.
Ah!
Love, while you're down there checking on Stump, can you get me a glass of water? I am thirsty.
Oh, sure thing, sweetheart.
We have to keep this up now.
What? Like, how awake does everyone seem to be?
Roll insight.
All right, that's not bad. That is a 18.
Great. With an 18, you hear the door click behind you. You look and see Brinley come out of her room. It looks like she has not slept. She actually seems a little worried.
Hmm. Okay. Anything with Shorna or...
Shorna also doesn't seem tired. However, you do see that she is in her armor.
Oh. So, like, either she slept in it or she put it on.
God, that would be uncomfortable to sleep in.
You don't know if she took it off.
Okay. The door that Stump saw on the way downstairs, that's still closed? Nobody else, like the hooded person from yesterday, is not coming in?
It seems closed.
Okay.
Whoever's in there is not coming out.
Okay.
Shorna sort of turns and makes her way down the stairs towards the screaming. Brinley brushes past the two of you and starts heading that way as well.
I'll follow along.
Brinley, darling, hold on one second.
Yeah? What?
You...
What's going on?
You look like you haven't slept a wink. Is everything okay?
Yeah, my uncle and I share a room when the inn is filled, and he didn't come in last night, so he must still be downstairs. He doesn't do that.
Look, I don't know what's going on down there, but I did hear Stump yelling about a body. And if your uncle didn't come upstairs last night, I don't want you to stumble on something you don't want to see.
She looks at you. Roll deception.
Yeah, it's a little suspicious. I just don't want her to have to come across him like that. That's a 10.
Her eyes narrow. And she says, it sounds like you know something.
I know as much as you, honey, but Stump is down there hollering about a body. And I'm putting together who I've seen come down the stairs and who I haven't.
She turns from you. The answer seems plausible enough, but something else is going on. As she turns, heads down the stairs.
Okay, well, I don't know if that went well. I'm going to go back into my room, cast invisibility on myself.
Okay.
And come back. I'll leave the door open so it's not like I'm opening the door invisible.
Okay.
But I'll just duck back into my room for a second, cast invisibility, come back out, and wait in the hallway for any sign of the hooded figure from yesterday.
You know what? Let's resolve that right now.
Okay.
You cast invisibility on yourself. You head out into the hallway. And after everything seems to quiet down, the door handle clicks and opens. And you see a woman standing in the doorway.
All right.
She is wearing all black. In fact, all black rogue's armor. She has long black hair. She looks half drow, half maybe human, with bright poison green eyes.
Oh, damn. I think Salome gets like a little flutter. It's just like, whoo. Okay.
And as she sort of opens, she sort of leans into the doorway. She sort of like leans against the door with arms crossed as if she's trying to get a listen on what's going on downstairs.
I'm gonna watch her for a minute.
Okay. You invisibly watch this woman that you
don't
know.
Not like that. I'm watching her to see if she's suspicious. I
can't. Weren't enough for you, Salome.
That she's beautiful and dangerous. that's just a fun bonus.
Meanwhile, downstairs in the kitchen.
There's a body. What? Somebody help. Anybody.
Stump,
help.
Stump, roll a performance check.
Stump, honey, are you all right?
No, there's a dead man.
You seem so distressed.
Why did you say it like that?
Stump is a dead man.
No, Daddy, there's a dead man in here.
Do not call me Daddy.
No, Papa.
I told you.
Wow.
Oh, no, we're learning too much.
17, baby.
Woo!
There it is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, no, you're screaming and hollering and making a fuss.
I'm shaking a little bit, from being so scared of a dead body.
Yeah, and from being so wet. Then Shorna comes running in, bursts into the kitchen, and sort of stops and goes, "Holy shit!"
I second that emotion.
Hey, you're right behind her. She sort of goes, "Oh, jeez!" You're sneaking up on a critter.
I was walking down with you the whole time.
Oh, you could have said something.
Oh,
I was just getting a little thirsty after our evening activities.
Oh God,
and,
yeah.
And I came in here and I just found early here the door was open, so I slammed it. That's why I'm. It's one of the reasons why I'm wet.
Oh,
did you hear anything from before?
Like, before she does anything else, Shorna just looks at you and goes, "Oh, you too."
Yeah.
There are other things to focus on right now.
I mean, are there?
And it's on the heels of that Brinley walks in.
Oh, God.
Hey, kid.
Brinley sees her uncle on the ground. Less a body and more pieces of a man.
Brinley, you don't need to look at this.
She doesn't look away.
Sweetheart, can I get you a drink or something?
You can't tell if she can hear you. She walks over to her uncle, kneels down next to his body, and holds one of his hands. And Shorna says, oh, shit. Shorna sort of looks at you and says, what happened?
Yeah, I came down to get some water, and, you know, I saw Early here, and the door was wide open, so I closed the door. Slammed it shut. It looks like it may have been like claws of an animal or something, or something that kind of looks like claws.
She sort of goes, okay. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I can take a look. I'm a trapper. I hunt. So I guess I can take a look and see if I recognize. And at that point, Brinley's head sort of looks up and she says, everybody stay right where you are. She says, I need everybody in the tavern out on that main floor right now.
Brinley, would you like me to collect the others from upstairs, bring everyone down together?
Yeah.
Sure thing.
All right. Go grab everybody.
A kid. I can cast alarm so we can set it off so nobody, if anybody comes in here, we'll all hear it. And only you can come in. Only you and me can come in here. I can't make it so I can't come in.
Well, I'm certain that'd be a mighty convenient alibi for you.
You're the boss, kid.
You start to leave and she says, wait, do it. But your friends can't enter. Especially not the blonde one.
Yeah, just you and me.
I'm going to have to keep my eye on you then.
I grab her hand.
You reach down and she recoils from you.
Okay. Yeah, that was a bad choice. Yeah, and so I hard cast alarm in this spot and I make it so only I can hear it in my head if someone that is not me enters this room.
Not even Brinley?
Not even Brinley.
Hmm. Okay.
Sorry, or Salome or Hayden. Salome or Hayden can also enter.
Got it.
Oh, boy. Okay. In that case, I need you to roll a deception check because you straight up lied.
Oh.
Oh, no.
That's a 10.
Okay. You cast it, and her eyes narrow as you do.
Okay.
But she does not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You both leave. You first.
Okay.
She does not make a move to the door until you start walking out.
Okay, I leave.
She follows.
I have a glass of water for Salome, and I'd like to stealth my way back up since I know that Salome is not the only one up there.
Roll stealth.
I rolled a natural 1.
Oh, baby!
I got
for
it
sure.
Fun
like
when Hayden
I
does.
Trip on one of the steps, slam the glass of water into the step, and break it.
Oh god! Just bleeding and
mush
wet.
Mush in. Oh.
Before we get to that, Salome.
Yeah.
You're watching this person.
Mm-hmm.
She's sort of leaning in the doorway. You hear commotion and voices going on downstairs, first loud and then quiet.
I use the time when it's loud to try to walk up. I take off one of my slippers and I just slip it into, still invisible, slip it into the door crack so that if she tries to close the door, she can't close the door.
Okay.
Like I just reach over her head, put a slipper in the door crack so that she can't close the door.
As you place the slipper in the door and as you let go of it, that slipper is going to become visible.
Oh, I'm not letting go.
You are holding it there.
Correct.
Okay.
I just put it there for a second. Just watch her for a second as she's, see if she's going to do anything. And then once it becomes clear that she's kind of just listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's mighty suspicious not going downstairs when somebody says there's a body.
You say that. And before you have time to register movement, you feel an explosion of pain in your side as a dagger lands in it.
Oh, amazing.
A little too happy about that.
You look down, see the floating dagger in your side, as it disappears.
Oh my god.
And you look up, seeing her hand gestured out toward you as she just threw it. And she says, gotcha.
I immediately, on getting hit, I think double over and go, oh, and then cast a second level Hellish Rebuke from getting hit.
You take 6 points of piercing damage.
Cool.
And you cast Hellish Rebuke.
So she has to make a dex save, which she's probably going to pass, but she's going to take 2d10 on a failed save or half as much on a successful one.
That's a 21 to save.
Yeah, she'll save.
Okay.
She gives me 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she takes 7 damage. I think she says gotcha, and then, like, fire climbs up the dagger that she just threw and back to her.
Yeah, you see it arc from the hilt of the dagger into the hand that threw it. She pulls her hand back.
I come out of invisibility as she takes this fire damage and go, gotcha back. And then I think I use that opportunity to step into the door after her.
You walk into her room.
Yep.
You step into her room, and as you do, you hear from the bottom of the stairs, oh! As Hayden smashes into the bottom of the stairs.
Oh. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
She steps in and closes the door too and says, fine, I'll just kill you in here.
Oh, hi there, darling. I'd rather you didn't. How come you're not going downstairs? There's a body.
And how would you know that?
You didn't hear Stump screaming downstairs? He goes like, oh, there's a body. It was a whole thing. It was a whole performance.
Hmm.
Nice boots, by the way.
Thank you. Now, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
You sneak it up on me, walking in my room. What's the play? What are we doing? You ain't coming on to me.
I think Salome, like, blushes a little bit and is like, well, now that you mention it, but no, I don't think that was the intention.
Her eyebrows sort of shoot up at that and goes,
Initially, no. although that was a very good shot with the knife there. No, I don't know. You see a suspicious hooded figure walk into the room, not say hi to anybody. A body turns up downstairs, and you're not coming out of your room. I got questions.
And I guess my question is, what puts you in a sense of authority to ask them?
Well, somebody's got to.
I own my secrets. Why do you need to own them, too?
Look, everybody's going to start having some questions about who killed the man downstairs. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, you're suspect number one. Cute as your boots may be.
She looks at you, sort of thinks for a second.
Don't think you're the only one with secrets, darling.
She smiles at that. She sort of extends her hand, the one that you burned, and says, my name's Belinda.
I take her hand and say, pleasure to meet you, Miss Belinda. My name is Salome.
She smiles and says, it sure is.
Oh.
Hayden.
Do I hear any of this?
Hayden, you're at the bottom of the stairs. You look up, having just fallen and smashed the water glass all over the bottom of the stairs. You look up to see Salome. You see the door to Belinda's room close with Salome and Belinda inside.
Yeah, I'm for sure going to head up there and listen at the door.
Hayden, you go to listen at the door. You hear some of the conversation. You hear that Belinda is sort of avoiding Salome's line of questioning. And then you hear Belinda introduce herself. And I need you to roll a history check.
I will do that.
Hmm.
That's a natural one again.
Yes!
Oh my
God.
Hayden,
that's your second one in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
I changed dice. Wild. Even.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you think her... with a nat one, Hayden, you have heard the name Belinda before.
Uh-huh.
And coupling it with the glimpse you saw of the dark-haired woman as the door closed upstairs with Salome, you do know who this is. She is a world-famous bard. You've seen her. You've seen her picture on posters. She travels everywhere.
You bet you've seen her picture on posters. Shit.
Solomon's flirting with someone famous.
You're a little awestruck.
I gotta play it cool. I gotta play it cool.
Meanwhile, downstairs, Stump, you are followed into the sort of tavern room. You see Shorna is sort of sitting in a chair by the fire. Brinley walks in behind you and says, "All right, where's your friend?"
Which one?
The one that was supposed to get the other two.
Oh, they're up. They're upstairs. I don't know if they've come down yet.
She goes,
You didn't hear that big crash 2 seconds ago?
She looks over and sees the smashed water cup at the bottom of the stairs and goes,
"Oh, we'll pay for that. Don't worry about it."
She picks up the gleaming silver sword hanging behind the bar and sets it down on the counter in front of her.
Hey, do you know how to use that?
She says, "Well enough."
Okay.
You want to find out?
Who?
She says, "Go sit down."
Okay. I go sit next to Shorna. Warm up while I'm wet.
You sit next to Shorna, and Shorna says, "I feel bad for her."
Yeah. Never great losing a loved one.
You said your name is Stump?
Yeah, you're Shorna, right?
Sure am.
What are you doing out here?
She says, "Well, I'm a trapper by trade. Been sort of hunting for, shoot, nigh on 20-something years now."
Anything good?
Here and there. I mean, she sort of pats the bear pelts on her back and says, "Yeah, you know, there's nothing like the thrill of the hunt."
I get it, yeah.
Your accent. You from Threed?
Oh, yeah, that's where I grew up. Spent a lot of time there.
What's it like in the big city?
Oh, I mean, I haven't been there in about 20 years myself, so I don't, you know, I mean, I can tell you what it was like back then, but...
That's fair. When I imagine the city, I just imagine, like, just cutthroats and, like, people killing each other.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, there are parts that happens in, you know, East Threed, kind of where I grew up, you know, it's kind of a little rougher. But there's also, like, some really nice parts. They got a really nice park in the middle. You know, there's also the really ritzy, like, you know, mega mansions part of it. There's, like, the merchant district. There's a lot of nice stuff. I mean, there was, like, you know, 20 years ago, but I'm assuming the big stuff's still there.
Shoot. Maybe I'll have to go someday. She sort of scratches at her neck.
You got any tips for, you know, I'm traveling out here now. You got any tips? I haven't really been this far out too regularly.
Oh, you know, I mean, you gotta have a goal, you know? You gotta have something you're following. I guess, she sort of thinks, and she says, you always gotta be chasing something, you know? You always gotta be heading towards something.
What are you chasing?
Well, I hunt because of my father.
Oh, it's sort of nice. Is that nice?
Hunting reminds me of him, you know? But he passed on a little while back, and...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, hunting makes him feel close to me.
That's nice. That's a nice feeling. I mean, I don't really remember my parents at all.
That's a shame. I think that parents are some of the most important things, and it's hard when life takes them away.
Yeah. But, I mean, can't miss what you never had.
She sort of shrugs and says, that's fair.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows? If we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their direct creator support initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the woods. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the Writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs. Brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll cut back to Salome and Belinda.
So she just said, "You sure are," when I said I'm Salome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of keep hold of the hand that I just shook and say, "Oh, so it sounds like you already know some of my secrets."
Well, I mean, wanted women as we are.
I think on that note, as much as I want this conversation to keep going, I think that Hayden would knock on the door.
Okay. You knock on the door. Belinda sort of looks and says, "Well, yeah, looks like we're interrupted for now."
I put my slipper back on.
you're like putting it on one foot.
Wow, starting with your slipper.
Hayden, you see Belinda open the door and sort of just lean in the doorway. You see Salome rapidly putting on a slipper in the background.
Hayden is like sheepishly playing with their braid, and oh, Miss Belinda, my apologies. I didn't mean to interrupt anything. I mean, first of all, big fan. But second of all, I was asked to collect everyone from upstairs to come downstairs. I don't want anyone to be looked at as though they are suspicious, given that there's a dead body downstairs. So really, I do apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt anything interesting that might be going on up here, but yes, that you, everyone's presence has been requested. Sorry again. Sorry. Love your work.
She sort of looks at you and she says, "Oh, hun, you are interesting."
Oh, really? Oh my goodness. I mean, I never considered myself to be, she
seems a little puzzled at you, and then turns to Salome and says, "I trust we'll pick this up later."
I imagine we will.
Certainly, you can have all the privacy you want as soon as we get this business sorted out.
Belinda turns and sort of just strides right past you, Hayden.
Is there something in her room, just like a little tchotchke or something, that I can just like fucking steal on the way out?
Yeah, there's a hairpin on the dresser ending in sort of like this beautiful jade.
Mm, is it like really pointy, like you could kill somebody with it?
Yes. And you imagine it may have been used in that fashion before.
Great. And I'm just gonna, because I don't think she'd call me out for this in public, I'll take it and I'll put my hair up with it. And walk out the door.
Wow. Okay.
I will try. I'm gonna try to intercept Salome on the way down.
Great.
I mean, it's easy to do because you are in the doorway. Belinda just strode right past you. Mm-hmm. So as Salome picks up a hairpin from this woman's room and does her hair with it, starts to walk past you, you sort of stop her.
Salome, three things. Number one, kudos. Number two, everything.
What? I just wanted to find out if she murdered somebody.
I'm sure that's true. Number two, are you all right? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's great. I got stabbed a little bit, but no worse than I've been in the days before.
Okay, processing that and moving on.
Salome does a quick lay on hands just to get back to full.
Great.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Number three, we have minimal time, I know, but sorry if this is too pressing or too poking into your business, but...
Well, you're fine. What's up?
Well, this death is not exactly natural. Your aunts, they're in the vicinity, right? Do they do anything about taking care of deaths that come too soon?
As in, like, could they help him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my mama was sort of the one who helped folks across the river, and they always really thought about death as something that was natural and sacred and something that, you know, that came for all of us, and they didn't usually do a whole lot to intervene. I think there is a possibility that if we held on to the body for a little while, depending on how quickly we could rescue Lila, she might be able to do something. She's not a real powerful druid, but normally I haven't really seen my family resurrect anybody. I think that wasn't really in their sort of ethos. But we can try.
Well, I imagine you don't really have a way of contacting them, or else you would have done it before now.
Yes, I think I would have.
Sorry, did I strike a nerve or something?
No, sorry, dear heart. I just... All this death in the bog has me real worried about him. And, I mean, even before Blackthorn Hollow, Lila made it real clear she didn't want anything to do with me. So, no, I don't have a way of getting hold of her.
All right, well, I know there's other things going on, but I'm here.
Thank you, Hayden. I appreciate you.
Hey,
look at this hairpin I got.
It's very nice. I tried to bring you some water, and then I had a problem.
Oh, thanks, darling. That's okay. Yeah, you're bleeding. Come here. And I use a little bit of my lay on hands on them, too. Come here, sweetheart. It's okay. We should have them hold on to the body, and if we can talk to Lila, and if she's okay, and if she's willing to talk to me, then maybe she can do something about it.
Sure thing. And we head down.
Go downstairs.
You head down. While Hayden and Salome are having this conversation, Stump, you're sitting there with Shorna. You sort of look over and see a woman you've never seen before. Tall, dark hair, dark armor, sort of lightly steps over the glass at the foot of the stairs. And as she sort of comes into the main room, Brinley looks up and goes, "Well, if it ain't Belinda Bartle." And Belinda does a little half curtsy and goes in and sits at a table in the back of the room that is in front of the stairs so that she can directly see her room.
Hmm. Hey, Belinda, what makes you get like a special hello announcement?
Belinda sort of looks at you and says, "Well, it might be on account of the history of crime and gang related violence."
I fucking love her.
Can I do like a history check?
Sure.
On that name, I guess, after that statement.
I absolutely love this woman.
That's a 9.
You spent most of your life
well, not most of your life. You spent a lot of your life in Mountain Creek. You don't think this woman is old enough to have had a criminal history going back farther than the 20 years that you spent in Mountain Creek.
Kid, that's a wild statement to just say out into the open.
Sort of shrugs, and Brinley says, she's only half of the leadership of the dreaded Bartle gang, along with her demon of a brother, Barabbas Bartle.
Wow, that's... What the hell are you doing here? What are you... What? What? Why are we just sitting here?
She sort of looks at Brinley and says, I am here to raid, pillage, and destroy. And Brinley says, laugh it up. There's a dead body in the other room.
I think about this time Hayden and I sort of awkwardly walk into the room.
Yeah.
You step down. Hayden, you are struck by the fact that Brinley is staring daggers at this world-famous bard.
Yeah. Just barely having missed the relevant conversation.
For a second time.
Yeah, Salome also is like a little starstruck by Belinda, so I think we both walk in a little starstruck by Belinda.
I don't think Salome is starstruck by Belinda.
No, but you know, struck.
Stars in her eyes.
So, Brinley, do you mind if I ask you, I guess, some questions about your uncle?
All right.
I mean, the first, you know, first question is, do you have any enemies? Do you know a lot of people in the area? Someone dislike him?
She says everybody loved him. It's hard to hate the tavern owner in town. It's the only place to get drinks around here, and even if it didn't come with the occupation, everybody loved him. It was impossible not to love early Porterfield.
He seemed like a good guy. Before, when we came in, we were talking a little bit, and he mentioned that there were, like, bodies, like, mangled bodies coming up everywhere. Did you ever see them?
She says, I did not. He wouldn't let me go near.
I hate to make you recollect things, but based on the descriptions that your uncle gave of the bodies coming out of the bog, does that seem to be related, or does it seem to be different?
He said they were animal attacks.
Okay.
A lot of people in town been saying other things. Been saying there's a beast of Blackthorn Bog running around, but it's hard to imagine that anything like that could happen in our little corner of the world. Nothing's ever happened like that in Boiling Brook, but animal attacks ain't uncommon, and this is just the first time it's happened more than once. But I mean, this rainstorm ain't common, and from what I hear of Blackthorn Hollow, that ain't common neither.
Did any of those attacks happen inside like this?
Not as far as I can tell. Most people, it's people who strayed too close to the bog.
So when I found Mr. Early, I closed the door, but the lock's intact. You know, it seems like someone, like it came from inside or someone came in.
Shorna says, you saying it's one of us?
I'm not saying it's one of us.
I mean, yeah, if that's the case, somebody either did it or somebody let in whoever did.
Brinley sort of looks over you all and says, I can't imagine any of y'all being capable of that. And she says, even you. And she points at Belinda. And Belinda sort of...
What?
Like, waves her hand.
Have you seen what this woman can do?
She says, I can't imagine anybody naturally being capable of something like that. Hayden, you're looking over at Belinda, and then you look up over her head and out the window, and you see a tall, dark figure, same as the one you saw before, lurking across the street. You see it disappear into the house across the street.
If I have a moment, can I cast Hunter's Mark on it?
Sure.
My eyes narrow. You hear, ooh, ooh, ooh. And I just go,
why does that sound keep happening?
I don't know. I got tinnitus or something from the explosion in the mine.
Sorry, everyone. I don't mean to interrupt, but I've been seeing something a couple of times, and I just saw it again. There's something out there.
You see what kind of something?
It's a big bad kind of something. I don't know what. I didn't get a clear look, but if there's a beast, I might have a bead on it. Now, I know we don't want anyone to leave, but we also don't want to be sitting ducks if this truly is some kind of creature that someone in here wants to let out. How do we all feel about me tracking it down?
I don't like it.
Belinda leans in and says, "You're gonna go out by yourself?"
Well, I mean, not if you tell me I shouldn't.
She sort of, you see her think about it, and she sort of shrugs and goes, "Your life, kid."
Hayden, look, I don't think Stump and I are going to be any use to you whatsoever out there, and I don't think you can just go out there by yourself.
You can barely see 10 feet out there.
Shorna sort of perks up and says, "Well, I'm a trapper. I mean, I was just telling you," she points at you, Stump, she says,
"Yeah,
might be able to assist you. We go see what all the fuss is about."
Shorna.
She looks at you.
You're still wearing your armor.
She sort of looks down and says, "Sure am."
You make a habit of sleeping in it?
I do. You know, when you're in the wilderness, you never quite know when you're going to be beset upon by some nasty critter. And I tend to sleep in my armor because it helps me sleep with one eye open, as it were.
Can I roll insight on this? This is folksy.
Sure.
Alright.
Never trust
this
folksy.
This is too folksy for me. That is a 21.
It seems like she might be telling the truth. From the fact that she is in the wilderness all the time, with a 21, you are puzzling over why she would not take off her armor behind a closed door.
Is she looking, like, cagey at all? Is anything kind of, like...
I mean, her eyes seem to be darting around a little bit. They seem to be darting at Stump.
Hmm.
As if, I mean, you imagine him being right there within arm's reach. He'd be the first to attack her if anything were suspicious.
Okay. Yeah, just lock that away. I don't know that it's a real good idea for you to go out in the middle of this thunderstorm and try to deal with this thing by yourself. I mean, it's been killing people in the bog for, what'd you say, weeks, Brindley?
Kid, we can barely walk.
Look, Hayden, I know you're good, but I also know that you're lucky, and the thing about lucky people is that sometimes their luck just runs out.
I mean, other than my tumble on the stairs, mine hasn't yet. You know how I am in the dark. I can be surgical. And if I run into this thing and it comes at me, I will come right back here, and you will all be there to help back me up, and at least we'll know what we're dealing with. I don't like the idea of just waiting here for it to come for us when we're not expecting it.
And Shorna sort of says, I mean, if all else fails, it's not like we're going to be any better in here.
Look, Salome, I understand. I hear your trepidation, but this is what I do.
I don't want you dying because you got cocky.
When I hear that my friends are in danger, or the people I care about are in danger, I go and I take care of it.
Okay, kid.
Oh, hell, Hayden. Look, you're grown. You can do whatever you like, but you better be careful. And Shorna, before y'all go out there, I need a word with you.
Her eyes sort of widen. She goes, oh, okay, sure.
I should get out of my pajamas anyway.
Yeah, can you, when you go upstairs to your room, can you just, like, touch everything in your room?
Oh, yes, for sure. Absolutely. I will get handsy.
Appreciate it. For the folks at home, so that's not a really weird request, is I can use my finder's goggles to possibly track someone, the last person who's touched an object.
My hands will wander.
My hands will wander? What?
Don't worry about it.
Belinda looks at you and goes, God damn, kid.
Oh no, I said the wrong thing.
Can I go with Hayden upstairs?
Hayden and Stump, y'all head on upstairs. Salome, you wanted to take Shorna aside?
Yeah, and I think I want to go up to one of the bedrooms and get really out of earshot of anybody else.
Okay, as you go to take Shorna aside, you see Brinley's hand move to her sword.
Oof, Salome kind of puts her hands up and goes, look, she's going out into the storm with my friend. I want to make sure my friend comes back.
She nods slowly. Her hand remains on her sword. And as you turn to leave, she goes back to staring daggers at Belinda.
Great. I think I take Shorna into my room and shut the door.
And Shorna says, all right, I'm trusting you not to kill me.
You're wearing armor.
Sure am.
Don't give me that folksy bullshit about you want to care, you want to have it on you all the time just in case something happens because you're a trapper. What the hell's going on, Shorna?
She says, I just... Some habits are hard to break. And I'd heard tell of the killings in these parts. And I was nervous. And she scratches her neck as she does so. And as she does, you see that bite mark a little more clearly.
You keep scratching your neck.
She sort of freezes and says, oh, nervous tick, I guess.
Cut the shit, Shorna. We all got secrets. You want to hear mine? Look, I'll trade you, all right? I killed my husband and ran away from three. What the hell did you do?
She sort of looks at you and says, you did? Did you really do that?
Yeah, darling, this place is full of murders. Are you kidding me? What did you do?
She says,
Did you kill early? Because I sure as hell didn't do that.
She sort of looks at you and says, no, I'm a werebear. And I'm afraid of that getting out. Because people will think that was me.
Right, because it looks like an animal attack.
And she nods.
Shoot, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Listen, you're about to go out with a very good friend of mine, and I need to make sure that they come back. And I can't go out with them, because I'm not going to be very useful to them out there. But if you are, I have to be able to trust you.
She says, listen, I don't know your friend, but it's just going to be me and them out there. And if there is a beast, we're going to have each other's backs. Shoot, if I was going around killing people, it would look mighty suspicious if I brought them back dead, huh?
Yeah, Shorna. Look, I understand why you don't want this secret getting out, and I will tell you that it is safe with me. But I will also say, not to put too fine a point on it, but if you come back without Hayden, it'll be the last thing you ever do.
She sort of nods and says, noted. She says, I will do my best.
Good. And we go back downstairs.
She starts to walk away and she says, the man you killed, your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a bad man?
Yeah, Shorna, he was. But if you're asking if he deserved it, like so many people do, I don't know that I can answer that.
She sort of nods and says, there's a lot of people out there that don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But sometimes they do.
Yeah, it ain't the way I was raised, but I'm starting to believe there might be some truth to that.
She sort of turns and walks back down the stairs. Hayden and Stump, you are alone.
So, Hayden, while you're running around touching everything in your room.
Yeah.
Kid, you sure you got this? You usually know who you're going after, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, depending on how you feel about the original stranger, I didn't exactly know who I was going after then, but well, that one was a lucky shot, but I think I got more than one of those left.
If you think so. I won't stop you.
Hey, I know my capabilities, and believe me, more than ever before, I intend to come back from this.
You better.
I move in to hug Stump, and then immediately feel like it's the wrong decision, and I'm just there with my arms up, and just go, I gotta touch the ceiling.
Touch the ceiling?
I touch the floor. I don't know, I can't touch the ceiling. What is this? I can't touch the ceiling. Okay, kid. And give like a pat on the back, but like kind of just like not like the high back, but like probably like kind of where the kidneys are, because that's as high as I could probably reach.
Just slap them on the shoulder.
Slap them on the ass.
Ah, screw it. I just hug him.
Aww.
Okay. We're good.
This is the reaction I was expecting if I did this. So yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go kill a monster.
You better do that.
Sure enough.
Yeah, Hayden, you join Shorna downstairs. Shorna says, all right, you ready?
Well, everybody thinks I'm not, so I better be.
Belinda says, don't die.
Well, I'm planning on it.
All right, Hayden, I hope you have fun touching all your stuff, because it'll be the last time you ever do, apparently. Solomon's just going full Aunt Lila guilt mode.
I don't know what having a mom is like, but I'm guessing it's like this.
Oh, honey.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dear heart, that's about right.
You and Shorna pull back the sort of bar keeping the door closed, and immediately both doors swing open with the full brunt of the blast of wind coming in.
Oof.
You head out, and people go to close the doors behind you and slide the bolt back in place. Hayden and Shorna, you trudge out into the storm. Inside, Belinda's still sitting there. At this point, she's sort of twirling a dagger on the table. she has it point down and is just spinning it.
Oh.
It is boring a hole in the table, and Brinley is just staring at her. Brinley looks over the group and says, "And then there were four. And I know who she is." And she looks at Belinda. She says, "I don't know who you are. And I already got enough to not trust one of you."
"Which one?"
Belinda raises a hand. "No, I'm talking about you. You try to stop me coming down here. You seem to know more about what's going on than you're letting on. You stayed after. You talked to her." She points to Belinda and says, y'all working together? Y'all in cahoots?"
"No, honey. Like I said before, I heard Stump yelling. I had a bad feeling, and I didn't want you to see something you didn't want to see. And as for Miss Belinda, I just had the pleasure of making her acquaintance a few minutes ago when I saw a dangerous-looking woman across the hallway and thought somebody ought to take a look."
And Belinda says, "Would you believe me if I said that I was not here on a mission of violence?" And Brinley says, "I would sooner believe the devil was here on a mission of peace."
"Belinda, what are you doing here?" And I kind of like turn toward her in a way that shows her the hairpin that I stole.
She clocks it, but she doesn't say anything.
"I figured."
She says, "Well, I'm looking for Barabbas."
"Oh. You know where he got off to?"
"I don't know if you were here to hear. And it don't seem like you know me from the posters like I do you." And Brinley sort of doesn't know what to make of that. And she says, "Years back, my brother and I used to run a group. Group of friends, group of..." And Brinley says, "Killers."
"Hmm."
And Belinda shrugs and says, "Some people might say that. And we used to run pretty thick, and sometimes, you know, the term property, people's property, it's a loose term, you know? What can really be said to be your property?"
Salome kind of fingers the hairpin that she just took.
And she says, "Well, a couple years back, we bit off a little bit more than we could chew. I made it out, but Barabbas got caught."
"Oh."
"And as they were taking him back, they had sort of a big old convoy. I think he was a little overkill, but they didn't ask my opinion. They had a convoy headed back, and that convoy disappeared. Never made it to Fort Penitence. And I don't know what happened to him."
"So you've been out here looking for him?"
"Yeah. So if you see a tall guy, human, dark hair, sort of a shit-eating grin..."
"Well, hey, I guess it's something to know you ain't just all doom, gloom, and daggers, Miss Bartle."
She says, "Don't act like you know me."
"Wouldn't dream of it." "I will say, I didn't know there were posters out for me just yet, so that's news."
"Oh, darling, the reward on your head far outstrips mine."
"How much?"
She says, "If I told you, you wouldn't believe me."
"That sounds about right."
Belinda leans back and says, "Well, gotta respect a girl with a high bounty."
Well, now I want to know how much.
Stop. Don't you go getting any ideas.
I met you like 3 weeks ago. It sounds like this could be a life-changing amount of money here.
Brinley says, are y'all fucking kidding me? There's many rooms upstairs. If I weren't suspicious, all y'all, I'd tell y'all to go take one.
Look, oh, speaking of suspicious, I'm sorry. Look, I had a conversation with Shorna, and she seemed real shady. I think we should go take a look in her room while she's gone. Stump, would you go up there with me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to have a look around Shorna's room. She just seemed real cagey. She kept scratching her neck as I was asking her about the murder.
Roll persuasion.
I'm trying to figure out how I could give the help action, but Stump is so bad at persuasion.
It's still really good. It's a 23.
She nods and says, yeah, find out what you can.
Will do.
You got a spare key, so I don't got to pick the lock?
She shrugs and tosses you.
As I openly say, I pick the lock.
She tosses you the key.
Great, thanks.
Just so you don't break the lock.
Oh, don't worry. Wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, so we go upstairs, and as soon as we're out of earshot of the others, I say, all right, look, I'm going to cast invisibility on you.
Okay.
And I think you should go around and look at Brinley and Belinda's rooms.
Yeah.
And I think I do want to kind of cover for Shorna being a werebear and say, and while you're doing that, I can go poke around Shorna's room, see if I can find anything.
I'll take a look, too.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll take a quick look around Shorna's room. Doesn't have to be a lot. And then I can cast invisibility on you, and you can go poke around everywhere else. I'll keep folks distracted, okay?
Perfect.
All right.
You walk up to Shorna's room. In the middle of the room, there is a bear trap.
Like in the middle of the room or like blocking our path?
In the middle of the room. So okay. That if anyone takes a wrong step, they end up in a bear trap.
Does it look like it's covering anything? Like, does it look like it's on top of something?
No, it's just in the middle of the room. You see that, like, all of the covers and sheets have been stripped off the bed, and there are instead layers of animal skins, as if that's what she sleeps on.
Can I go ahead and make my investigation check?
Make your investigation check.
Oh, that's a nat 20.
Oh, shit.
A nat 20. Wow. A nat 20. There's not a whole lot going on in this room.
Fuck.
Well, here's the thing. Shorna does not take a lot of belongings with her. You glance around the room. The only thing that you see is what looks like a small trunk at the foot of the bed. It seems to have been makeshifted so that it could be a backpack. But it's a small trunk, and if someone were strong enough, they'd be able to hold it. You look at the trunk stump, and you recognize the symbol on it from a long time ago. On it, there is a crest. And the crest reads, Shurin Undertow Trading Company. Hayden, we cut to you. The rain is... It's impossible to see anything. You trudge forward through mud that comes partway up your shin. Your first look is at the house across the street. You start to go towards it, but see the tracks of whatever it was lead out the door and out into the mud. So you know that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You keep going. And Shorna follows. Roll survival.
It's not my best. That's a 12.
Ugh.
Shorna just rolled a nat 20.
Oh my god.
On okay. Survival.
Is she like picking me up and carrying me through this?
She sort of follows you and says, hold on. Those look like tracks there.
Oh yeah.
Is this what you were talking about?
I mean, that probably matches up.
And Hayden, you look and you see that Shorna seems almost genuinely surprised, as if she wasn't expecting like a creature out here. And she says, all right. Let's follow it.
Weren't expecting us to actually run into something, were you?
She says, well, can't say I was. You know, old man liked to tell stories.
That's certainly true. I've run into my share of storytellers here and there.
She says, hey,
Speaking of stories, you mind if I tell you one?
Anything to keep me distracted from all this rain.
And she seems to be following the tracks pretty well, and you make your way across town, and she says, "You know, I didn't always used to be a trapper. In fact, when I was young, my dad used to run a business. A real honest one. He's a good man. And then one day somebody killed him."
"Really?"
"Yep. And, well, after that, they found his business ledger. Been, written in all to hell. Seemed real shady. Got his business shut down. Ruined his reputation. Killed my mother from the shame. And I had nobody. So, I suppose, I guess I ask you at this point in the story, what would you do if somebody had done that to you? If somebody had taken away the only family you ever loved?"
"You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had something quite similar happen to me, and, well, I'll tell you, I went out to the ends of the earth, tracked down that person who destroyed my family, and I destroyed them."
She smiles and she says, "We think alike."
"Out of curiosity, do you know who it was?"
"I do. Hey, Aiden, I got a question for you."
"Fire away."
"How much you know about Stump Steenling?"
"Suddenly starting to understand why you thought I'd find this story so interesting."
As you say that, you see a change starts to come over Shorna. Her fingernails start to grow into long claws. Fur ripples like waves up her arms, meeting at her neck, and then enshrouding her face. You see that face extend into a maw. Her ears travel up the sides of her head into small bear ears. And suddenly she is not a small dwarven woman. She is a large, half-person, half-bear. And she says, "He killed my father, and I'm gonna kill everyone that stands between me and him." And with that, we'll end the session.
To episode 18 of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Remember to stay tuned after this for a promo from our friends at the AARPG podcast. Want to hear us talk more about our show? Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thanks to Jacob Kersner for our orchestrations and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, and wherever we may be, we're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. I've been practicing. I might catch it this time. And now let's shout out all of our subscribers over on Patreon. There's Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Das Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Oakey, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, El De Soul, Julata Pang, Michael Clevenger, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. You're all just grand. You make me so happy. Thanks, folks. Tell all your friends about the show. Tell all your foes about the show. Tell all your woo, woo, woo. What was that? Woo, 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 woo. Lassie, what is it? Woo, 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 woo. What? Timmy? Timmy stuck in the well? Oh, no, you're just trying to tell me about the show using the hashtag MHH5. Oh, good girl. Hey, How about a high five?
Are you looking for an actual play podcast with young, hot role players, disciplined professional voice actors, and wholesome content? Well, this isn't that podcast. AARPG is an adults-only podcast with interviews, actual play stories where...
Excuse me, Matt, why do you sound like you've been chain-smoking since you were a toddler?
What do you mean?
The voice. You don't have to do that voice, man.
I don't?
Nah, just tell them that we're a group of old friends who like to get together, hang out, play lots of different types of games, and we want them to feel like they're sitting at the table with us. And they can find us just by searching for the AARPG podcast on their favorite podcatcher and at the AARPGs on YouTube.